Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. We are recording from Silver Spring, Maryland, and are so glad that you can join us. Nedarim Chaf Gimel, Nedarim 23a, pagination is 45. We're going to start from the Mishnah towards the top of the page, the third line, but we're making reference, by way of introduction, to a question in the Gemara, which was a page ago on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara over there, about six lines from the top, asked the following question. Iboiluhu, Baal mi'aker okar, when a husband negates a vow that his wife made, does he uproot it from the very beginning? Odilma megiz gayis, or does he simply cut it off from now moving forward? That means, are we doing it retroactively, which is the way Ataras Nedarim generally works, or megiz gayis from now on? And we're going to see that we are going to paskin and take the line of reasoning that megiz gayis, it only cuts it off moving forward. And there are two significant ramifications of that, which we can discuss today. The Gemara over there, on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, says, L'may nafka mina, what's the difference? Le'isha shenodra ben nozi v'shama chaverta v'omra va'ani. If a woman made a vow, and another person heard that vow and said, me too. And later on, the first woman's vow is negated by her husband. If the husband's negating the vow works retroactively, then it turns out that she never had that vow upon her at all. And anybody who said va'ani and me too, retroactively, it turns out that they were saying me too to a neder that didn't exist. If, however, megiz gayiz, it's only that moving forward, the vow is no longer binding. He can cut it in its tracks, but he doesn't affect the past at all. Then it's true at the time that that other person said va'ani, the vow was indeed intact, and you would be able to say va'ani on it, and me too, because it existed at that time. Similarly, in our Mishnah, on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, the Mishnah states, Ho'isha shenodra b'nazir, a woman who makes a vow of nazirus, v'ho'isa shosa b'yayin u'metama l'mesim, and she's drinking wine, and she's defiling herself to tuma, to a dead body. Harezes sofeges, sofeges esuar boim, she would get malchus for her behavior. And the Gemara on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis explains that if you hold meges gayes, that the husband's negating the vow only works from now moving forward, but not retroactive, then this Mishnah can be understood even in a case where the husband ended up negating the vow, but even though he later ended up negating the vow, but at the time that she made the vow, it is in effect, even retroactively, it remains at that time in effect. And therefore, when she violated it, she was in violation. Again, even though later on the husband negated the vow. And that's how the Rambam reports this Mishnah. In Hilchos Nedarim, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Yates, the Rambam writes, Nodra, if she made a vow, ve'ovra al nidra, and she violated the vow, kodim sheyafer la avia obayla, before the father or husband will negate the vow. In other words, they did end up negating the vow, but that's not going to help her, because she was in violation at the time that the vow was still in effect. Afal pisha shama bo bayom, even though they ended up hearing on the same day, and they negate it on that day, v'heferla, hareza chayeves, she's going to be in violation, al devar sha'ovra bo, on that which she violated, im malchus malchus, im karban karban, if it was an accidental, so it's a karban, if it was purposeful, it's malchus, but the way this works is Megiz Gaia's moving forward. The vow has been negated and she doesn't have to observe it, but in the past, it was binding. We move on in the Mishnah. Hefer la baila vehi lo yada shehefer la baila. A new case. The husband negated the vow before her violation, but she did not know that it was negated at the time of her violation. Eina sofeges eso arboim, you can't give her regular makos, even though she did it purposely, but it turns out that she wasn't in violation, because prior to her act of drinking wine, for example, it had already been negated by the husband. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, im eina sofeges eso arboim, tisfog makas mardus. If we can't give her biblical malkos, because it turns out, after we found out what happened, that the husband indeed negated it before her violation, but, you know, she deserves malkos rabbinically, because her entire intent was to violate and to be in violation, and therefore she deserves a level of punishment, if nothing else, to at least make sure that she doesn't cut it so close in the future, making a vow, violating it, and being in real violation a different time because the husband has not yet negated it. This too is codified by the Rambam, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Yud Ches in the middle, Nodra Vehefer Lo Ho'av, O Habal Vehilo Yoda. If the father or the husband heard about it, negated it, but she didn't know, va'avra al nidra, and in her mind she was in violation of the vow, bizadon, purposely, harezu ptura, she's going to be absolved of biblical malchus, afal pi sheniskavla le'isser, even though she intended prohibition, ho v'nasa ete ptura. Because it ended up, as far as we did the research, sequentially on the timeline, it was indeed negated before her violation, she's potter. Va'alze ne'amar, this is what the pasuk means, v'Hashem yislach lo, she needs atonement. Kiheni avia osa, it's a case where the husband, where the father negated it, but she still needs atonement, because she was in violation of Yirah Shamayim, fear of heaven, because in her mind, she thought that it was prohibited act. So the act of defiance is indeed in need of atonement, but the vow has not actually been violated. Umakino samakas mardus mipnish neskavno le'isser, and the Rambam brings this ruling of Rabbi Yehuda from our Mishnah that she should get lashed rabbinically because she intended prohibition, and we have to draw the line over there, but it's not biblical malkos. Let's take a glance at the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Isha Haferam v'Hashem yislach lo. The vow was negated, but she needs atonement. B'Isha Shehefer la Baila v'hi lo yada hakosef medaber. The case is that she indeed does not have a vow upon her because, according to the timeline, it was indeed negated before her violation, nevertheless, she tzricha kaparo slicha, she needs atonement. As we explained, because she's in violation of Yira Shemayim, because she thought she was doing the wrong thing. And when Rabbi Akiva got to this verse, he would cry. If a person intended to eat non-kosher meat, and ended up with kosher meat, unbeknownst to them, they ended up taking kosher. Ta'un kapara uslicha, they need atonement. That's this case of this woman who thought she was doing wrong. Hamiskavin la'alos biyodo basa chazir. If a person intended violation, va'ala biyodo basa chazir, and he achieved his violation, alachas kama v'kama, certainly he needs significant atonement. One cute story. There was an Israeli couple who was very angry. They were very angry with religion, and they decided that they were going to stuff themselves eating on Yom Kippur. And they booked themselves into a hotel, and they ate, and they ate, and they ate. And then, towards the end of the day, their religious son calls them to wish them a Happy New Year, a good Yom Kippur, because tonight will be Kol Nidre night. And suddenly they realized that they had been eating, but it was Erev Yom Kippur. They had messed up the days on the calendar. And they were eating so much on Erev Yom Kippur when it's actually a mitzvah to eat, provided that it's kosher food. But they thought they were eating on Yom Kippur. What kind of atonement do they need? And perhaps, what an interesting thing, that somehow they managed to do all this eating, if it was kosher food at least, when it was a mitzvah to eat such food. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.